3 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me."
Amen.
"That I am the Lord," capital L, "which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." And then if you turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. First Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse number 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Why? "That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." You want to get excited about an accomplishment? Know that you have an understanding of who God is.
Right. Amen.
"It's not many mighty, not many noble are called, but you are called."
Amen.
"That we could give him the glory."
Amen.
Lord, we ask your blessing and touch upon your word this morning. God, that through it we become strengthened.
Amen.
More determined, God.
Amen.
"That we're going to live for you and make it to the very end. God, that through it, we could be profitable as well for your kingdom. We ask your blessing and your anointing upon it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen." You may be seated. If you would turn to Psalms chapter 20. From time to time, we've sung this psalm. Chapter 20, verse number 6, it says, "Now know that the Lord saveth his anointed." He's the one who saves.
Amen.
We haven't saved anyone.
Amen.
We've given them information, but then God's the one who saved.
Amen.
"No, now know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." It's appropriate, the messages that came in this morning, because God's saying, "Do you trust me? And how do you trust me? Do you trust me in your might, in your riches, in your wisdom?" Some trust in chariots. The most powerful thing in that day was a chariot. Some trust in horses. The most powerful animal in that day. If you had a chariot, if you had a horse, you were rich. You were mighty. You were somebody. But it says, "We will remember the name of the Lord our God." We all have things that we have accomplished over the years, and there's nothing wrong with feeling good about the accomplishments that we have had. Most of us have had to work hard for whatever we have. And those accomplishments include education, good job or profession, a nice home, a wonderful family. God gave us abilities and strength in order to pursue and to obtain. We are living in a country where we have the freedom to pursue happiness and fulfillment. But there's something else about it. We have to put forth the effort. If you'll turn to Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 8. It says, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. In other words, we're talking about righteousness and the Holy Ghost, or the anointing of God. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all of the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. In other words, here's really the portion of life for you, that you love your family and that you love whatever God has given you in order to do. It says in verse number 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with the least amount of effort as you can. Do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You know what? My grandfather always used to say, if there's something worth doing, it's worth doing with everything that you have. There's no fulfillment in doing a half of a job or mediocre. God created us to accomplish goals, to work with our hands. It's our portion in life. And when a man doesn't have something to do, he doesn't feel satisfied or fulfilled, because God's saying, you've got to do something, accomplish something. God said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. The church is the same way. We can't just come in here and do absolutely nothing. There's no fulfillment in that. We have to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the church. But many people are not fulfilled with their accomplishments, even though they have obtained great wealth and stature, because they didn't give God the glory for what they have. I know a lot of wealthy people, a lot of wealthy men who just aren't satisfied, who are complaining all of the time. They trust in chariots and horses, Porsches, and houses, and there's no fulfillment in that. God created us with this void that can't be filled with anything else but accomplishing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to Ecclesiastes again. One of the wisest books in the Bible, written by Solomon, and he had the brains and bucks to do whatever he wanted, his heart's desire. And he come to the conclusion, serve God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. But go to chapter number 6 and verse number 1. He says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. It is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desires, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Got it all, but I'm not satisfied. Got it all, but there just doesn't seem to be any kind of fulfillment. Wasted my entire life accumulating things, and yet I'm miserable. Buying into emptiness. Hallelujah. It's all about who gets the glory. Some years ago, I had a friend of mine who told me about a trophy that he has on his wall. He went down to Texas and he went boar hunting. And he shot this boar with a .357 Magnum pistol, and he was very proud of it. And I remember saying, you know, I'm around boars all the time, but I never shoot them. You know, they're not my trophies. People really love to display their accomplishments, their victories. I want to let you know what I got. I want to let you know what I've done. I want to let you know. I don't know. Does that elevate us? Does it help us feel more, you know, fulfilled? The big one that didn't get away. And there it is, hanging on the wall just to prove it. Oh, and there's always a story of how this big one didn't get away. How they stalked this deer for 3.5 days without any sleep, and all he had were 2 dozen candy bars, 3 rifles, and several knives with them. Yep, I used just the right bait. It had 27 hooks and splashed like a wounded mackerel. And there it is, hanging on my wall. I walked into offices and they looked like a branch of SeaWorld, you know? Glory to God. They study the habits and certain times and conditions. They'll go out in any weather and any condition in order to put something on their wall. But what about us? Do we study the habits and the conditions? Will we go out in any kind of weather? Have you ever met anyone like that? I walked into a guy's office one time and he had his entire office wall covered in diplomas and certificates, you know? And I really was in awe, except he didn't have any common sense. I had a neighbor who had in his basement shelves and shelves of trophies, little plastic gold cups. You know, some of them were this big. There's a couple of them that were this big. You know, I don't know how much a hunk of plastic costs these days, but his entire wall, he would leave his family every Saturday and Sunday to race in motocross and for another hunk of plastic. Now, that doesn't make much sense either. For some people, it's not what they hang on the wall, it's the walls themselves. I have a 6,000 square foot home with 6 furnaces, and our 2 kids really love it. There are a lot of people who drive their trophies around. Glory to God. It seems awfully quiet right now. Now, there's nothing wrong with bagging a deer, a fish, a boar, a house, a car, or a wife, or a husband. So what if you have to look ridiculous in an orange outfit or camouflage suit? So what? So what if you smell like fish and worms? You know, it's worth it all. Isn't it amazing how people will dress ridiculously out to get a deer, but when we ask them to dress appropriately to live for God, it's a different story. But I, for one, would like to display some trophies that I can take to heaven. In fact, this whole city is filled with trophies. There's no shortage. There's no endangered species. There's no season. It's not just now that's open for Bible studies. All year long, even during barbecue time, it's open season for teaching sinners. There's no restrictions on size, thank you, Jesus. No restrictions on shape, color, age, or sex. There's not a limit on the number that you can win. And each trophy is a record trophy in the sight of God. These are the trophies that we can have on earth and take with us to heaven. Maybe there will be a special wall in heaven just to display all of the souls that are won by Apostolic Faith Church. Come into this room and look at what you have done. The Bible tells us that we'll receive a crown someday. With jewels to display our success in winning souls. Turn with me to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. First Peter 5 and verse number 4 it says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And so God's saying, there is going to be a trophy for you. There's going to be a reward for you. Each person, one to the Lord, has a special story. Someone flushed them out of the world. Someone had an opportunity to talk to them at work. Someone had an opportunity to talk to somebody while they were at the grocery store, at the filling station. And another cited them in with a Bible study and just used the right approach that got them interested in the Word of God. Another baptized them in Jesus, and now they're a trophy, and they're in the trophy room. Just look around you. You'll find that there are many. All of us have a different story, and all of us have value to God because somehow somebody went up and said, you know what? I'm just not satisfied. You, my friend, are a trophy. Turn to Psalms 126. Psalms 126 and verse number 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The sheaves. I want to bring some sheaves with me. I don't want to just, well, I made it, God. Hallelujah. It was a struggle. You know, it's not so much struggle when you're bringing other people with you. When you have a new convert on a pew, it's not so hard to get up in the morning and come to church or on a Wednesday night because, you know what? You've got sheaves that are sitting within the church, and you've got to make sure of your babies.
Amen.
Glory to God. I've had more new converts inspire me to do more than any old saint. I'm not saying old saint, but somebody who's been around. You know, in fact, it's the old saints. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. I've asked a young man to help me this morning. Tyler King, would you come up here? I like this young man. He always says hi to me. It's not funny. Some kids, you know, they don't know where they're at. He says, "Hi, stand right there, stand right there." I want you to look at him. He's a Bible quizzer, but I want you to. I want you to get a look at the trophy. Here, let me help you out.
Amen.
There's the trophy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's nice and shiny and everything, but I tell you, it will not last for an eternity.
Amen.
Glory to God. It won't make a difference in his life that there was a trophy, even if he has his name on it.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's the people who become the value of the church. In fact, this building is not the church. It's just a place where the church gathers. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. Now, there are some say, well, you can come as you are and stay as you are. Then what are you called out from?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't want to wear camouflage. I want to be noticed. I want to be a shiny object in this world that people look at and say, "Oh, there's something different about you." There are some incredible trophies in this trophy case this morning, and each of you have a story of how you didn't get away. That God used just the right thing. He set up just the right circumstances. Oh, and he said just the right person. Oh, I tell you what, Philip, I want you to leave a revival and I want you to go out in the middle of the desert because I got a fish on the line. I've got an Ethiopian eunuch, and I tell you what, he is just ready to be mounted and put on the wall of the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Kathy DeGrant, where are you?
Amen.
Come up here. Brother Marquardt, come up here. Stand in front here. Sister Esther Miller, would you come up here, please?
Amen.
Sister Emmeline Atkins, come up here, please. Sister Donowski, would you come up here? Sister Curatola.
Amen.
Brother Lapatina, would you come up here? Where are you? Glory to God. Brother Aramis, would you come up here? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm trying to make a point here, and that is, these are the trophies
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
These are the people who are valued. Maybe never, ever had a chance to minister from this platform, and some have. Never, ever preached a message, but they're a trophy of God. They're constant. They're living for God all of the time. Hallelujah. Every one of them have a special story of how God had pulled them out of the world and brought them into a trophy case. Hallelujah. And now, if all of the other trophies would stand. Because every one of you is a trophy of God. Every one of you has a special story. Every one of you, God has done something special in order to put you in the boat. Hallelujah. Two by two. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. I believe God shows off his trophies to heaven all of the time. I wonder during song service if God isn't pointing to the angels and saying, look at that one.
Right.
Hallelujah. Do you remember where she came from? Do you know where he came from?
Right.
I got the victory on Calvary so we could be his everlasting trophies in heaven, everlasting.
Amen.
Take a look at Job, the first chapter. Job chapter 1, and starting in verse number 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves like a trophy before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Did you know he showed up today?
Yeah.
And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it, checking locks and doors. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Have you really considered this trophy over here? I wonder what kind of games go on from time to time with, you know, what's happening in our lives that we don't know. But he's saying, there's a shiny trophy over there. It's mine. Satan, you want to know the story? Can I give you the details? Can I tell you the first time they raised their hands? Can I tell you about the time they spoke in another tongue or said, I have to be baptized in Jesus' name?
Amen.
I feel that this last year when we baptized David Simmons, our project manager, in Jesus' name, we were kicking the devil in the teeth. Hallelujah. And verse 21, after everything was taken away from him, everything. Verse 21 said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God's foolishly. That's what a real trophy does. A real trophy continues to shine bright and be what it's supposed to be. Stable and a reminder of a victory. Glory to God.
Amen.
What a tragedy God has in this life of Job. And yet he worshiped. What about David, a man after God's own heart, and all of the things that went on in his life? All of the problems and all of the temptations and all of the wars that he was in, all of the accusations and the temptations and yes, the failures in his life. And yet, he knew how to repent. He knew how to ask for forgiveness. And to this day, he is one of the greatest trophies that we find in the book. And we have patriarchs throughout the Bible who, well, they didn't live a perfect life, but they are a trophy, and they will be in heaven as a shiny trophy. Paul was a difficult catch, like a lot of us. Oh, resisted. We tried to get him in the net over and over, and it just didn't seem to work. But one day, he was knocked down on the road to Damascus and started to be the trophy. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love my appearing.
Amen.
What a trophy.
Amen.
What a trophy. Many of us have been on the potter's wheel for a long time in order for God to shape us into what he wants us to be, the trophy he wants us to be. There are little trophies and there are big trophies. There are some that, they're just more gorgeous than others. It all depends on what have you gone through. Have you charged God foolishly? Did you? Well, Pastor, those were all important Bible figures. You know, but I'm not such a big Bible figure. Would you turn to Matthew? I know we're using a lot of scripture. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew 11 and verse number 11, Jesus says this, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We are worth more than all of the Old Testament patriarchs combined. John the Baptist, what a perfect man. In fact, he was a better man than any man that was ever born of a woman on the face of the earth. But he's saying the least of the saints, the person who is the least in this building. And sometimes I feel exactly that I am the least. He or she is greater than John the Baptist or Paul or any of those that were in the Old Testament. The season never closes on winning souls for God. 2 Timothy 4 and 2 says, Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Matthew 16 and 26 says, For what is a man profit? If he has $1 million in the bank, he has an 8,000 square foot home, he has a 4-car garage with every kind of car he wants. What is it profit if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? The soul that the Lord has packaged in flesh will live forever someplace. And we determine where we're going to live. Can we have a part in directing that soul to heaven? Is there a fulfillment that comes with directing somebody? It's a greater fulfillment than having the greatest accomplishments here on earth. God is very much interested in us going to church. He's very much interested in us praying and singing in the choir, but we must take God out of the church in order to share God to the world. That's why he has instituted portable trophies. that we can walk among them. We can talk to them about what God has done in our lives, how we're not the same as we used to be. We don't talk the same anymore. We don't dress the same. We don't like the same things we used to like. And we're able to walk into their life and be the church and be the trophy. Hallelujah. I remember I had a district meeting here some years ago, and all of the pastors from Section 2 were here, and person after person came up to me as they saw all of those trophies up on the landing. If you haven't seen them, you ought to walk up in the balcony and take a look at it. There's no room up on that place for any more trophies. And they said, "Wow, you must have a great volleyball team or basketball team." And I said, "No, we don't have a volleyball team or a basketball team. But we've got a bunch of young people who love the Word of God. And they're Bible quizzers." Hallelujah. Because those kind of trophies will last. It's not the thing they carry. It's the person that carries it that makes all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. I used to hunt with some guys that always stayed on the road or the fire lane. Some of you who are deer hunters, I did that for years, and it was way up in the north woods, so it was all forest, and so you can get these trails that go back into the woods. They're called fire lanes, so if there is a fire, they can get back there and try to cordon it off and stop it. And so these guys would only hunt on the fire lanes. They never go into the woods because they were afraid they were going to get lost. They also never got a deer. Church is a good place to get nourishment and to be taught, but it's not a good place to get a trophy. You can't just stay on the well-walked path. You have to sometimes get out into the woods. Don't worry, you won't get lost because they're not living for God. Don't worry, God will take care of you. But you got to get out there someplace where all of the trophies are if you want to display some for God. Do you have a trophy in this place this morning? Amen. Is there somebody here because of your witness? Is there some sheaves here? Because God's going to require it one day. Have you been hunting lately? Have you looked around? Jesus said in Matthew 9 and 37, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, well, they're few." Glory to God. I don't say these things to intimidate anybody or to make you feel bad, but I'll tell you, I say them to make you feel good. Because there's nothing better than talking to somebody about God. There isn't anything that gets you more excited or fulfilled than doing something that's going to last for an eternity. My education's not going to make the difference. My house isn't. My car isn't. None of those things are really going to matter for eternity. But one soul is more valuable than the entire world. Where would these people have been if somebody else didn't go fishing? Somebody else didn't go hunting? Where would you be? Where would I be? The only reason I'm standing behind this pulpit right now is because there were some people who were so dedicated to see me getting saved that they fasted and they prayed for me and they called me and they made me their friends, and then they started discipling me to the place where God could get more out of me than I ever thought he could get out of me. But somebody had to decide, I'm going to push aside my time. I'm going to push aside some food, my family. And then the miracle happened. Would you turn to Acts, the third chapter? See, once you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there's something within us that says, I have to go fishing. I have to look for somebody. Chapter 3, Acts, verse number 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And so there was a scheduled time. Thank God for all these people who come on Saturday mornings. Thank God. Hallelujah. I talked to Brother Stan Gleason Friday, and he heard about our addition. Most of you don't know who he is. He pastored this church for 5 years before my wife and I came to pastor. And he said, I've got to come. More importantly, I want my family to see what God has done in Racine. He's now the assistant general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. He was pastoring here at 25 years old, and I think there were about 40 people, he said. And he said, I heard about Saturday morning prayer. I have to come. I have to experience it. I want to see victory in something that I was attached to, you see. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. How many people walk by this guy? How many people? How many people are there in this world that we walk by every day and they're a potential trophy for God? And we walk by them. I walk by them. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. He was limited to what he was asking. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them, something worthless like gold or silver. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, would you say immediately?
Immediately.
This thing could have festered than you can possibly imagine. There are people who just visit the church one time and immediately they're filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Immediately. Amen. And there are some who I've been teaching for 25 years. And immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. For years he sat at the entrance, but he never had a chance to go in. And now he's walking and leaping and praising God. All because Peter said, hey, silver and gold have I not. But I've got, but what you've got, but what all of us have, is we have power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to make more trophies for God.
Amen.
Jesus is my trophy.
Amen.
And I will put him on display whenever I have a chance to put him on display. I will. Oh, and there's one more thing. The devil is also looking for his own trophies for hell. And he's doing whatever he possibly can in order to put a trophy on a wall down in hell. Someone to join him in the lake of fire. Somebody to join him in the bottomless pit. He's looking for preachers because they're worth their weight in hell. He's looking for evangelists and missionaries. He's looking for Sunday school teachers. He's looking for choir directors and music directors. He's looking for board members. He's looking for ordinary saints. He's looking for new converts. He wants to snatch them. He wants to make them into a trophy for hell. Don't think that you're not on the auction block every day. Come on down. What is it going to cost? I don't want to end up on a wall in hell, folks. I've seen too many who've started out as a brand new shiny trophy and somehow they've been taken. I want to snatch another from hell and put them in heaven because that's what God wants me to do. He truly does. That's what God wants you to do. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. And verse 24. Paul's saying, And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. I've never won anybody by arguing over Scripture. I've never won anybody by throwing dynamite into the water, you know. It's an easy way to fish. You just light the thing, throw it in the water, and then you pick up all the dead fish. And dead fish just stink, you know. And so we don't get people into the church by telling them they're wrong or this is what they ought to do. Because the Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And we did at one time. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who wants to be a SWAT team, who are taken captive by him at his will. And somehow we need to capture them and bring them in to the trophy case where they too can be on display for all of heaven, but mainly for our Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God.